glory, His divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from the Radio Sai Studios. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you in real time from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Dear listeners, first things first, I hope you're getting organized to come home for ushering March 18th, which happens to be the New Year's Day for several communities across India with us here in Prashanti. That Sunday on March 18th, Prashanti Nilayam will be celebrating Ugadi and the New Year of many communities with traditional and spiritual fervor that is associated with this day. As you can imagine, the ashram's calendar is chock-a-block with celebrations and festivities for only one purpose, to glorify the one and only God, and to wish all the beings in all the realms pure, unadulterated happiness. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Always. That is our prayer today and our collective prayer for always. By the way, it is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time in the studio right now, and today happens to be Thursday, the 8th day of March 2018. Current weather conditions in the Divine Valley call for clear sunny skies, excellent air quality with zero pollution, and the current temperature is pegged at 29 degrees Celsius. Mr. Golden Sun is blessing us with an abundance of sunshine these days. We are expecting to touch 36 to 38 degrees in the afternoons for the rest of this week. And the good news is we are likely to meet and exceed our daily requirements of vitamin D these days quite effortlessly. Traffic in downtown Prashantputaparthi this morning was light and moving well. So, dear sisters and brothers, Bhagwan is expecting you home for Prashanti Nilayam. I hope you have started packing and planning right this moment. Meanwhile, today on Morning Glory, I'm going to debut an exclusive interview with Ms. Ira Patnaik of the United States of America. I urge all our listeners to pay close attention to this conversation because of the lessons it holds for all of us, especially in terms of the power of the divine name, as it deals with a very sensitive issue, such as women's safety. If you are a woman concerned for her safety, or if you're a man or a woman concerned for the safety of women around you, be it your mother, your spouse, your friend, co-worker, daughter, child, sister, I think there is something very important for each one of us in this conversation that Ira shares so candidly with us. And I would urge you to call everybody up right now and tell them to listen to Morning Glory because of the interview that is coming up in just a few moments from now. And after this interview, I'm going to play some of your favorite music pieces as always. And I urge you to please reflect on the message that Ira Patnaik's interview carries or speaks to you, because it's a very individual process. And share your feedback as always with us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. With that, dear listeners, I leave you to enjoy this wonderful interview and the music that will follow, and I will be looking forward to your feedback. Over now to Tryst with Divinity with Ira Patnaik of the United States. Have a listen and please enjoy. Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome to Radio Sai. Today is the 6th day of January 2018, and we have with us Dr. Ira Patnaik, who considers Bhagwan Baba to be her friend, philosopher and guide, like millions of us. Dr. Ira Sharma Patnaik was born in Uttar Pradesh, India, and she graduated from the Allahabad University with a Master's in English in the year 1964, and along the way she earned herself 6 gold medals. She completed her doctorate in English from Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York, in the United States, and this was in the year 1980. Currently, she is a retired professor of foreign literature and world mythology from Frostburg State University in Frostburg, Maryland, USA. Ira Patnaik has led quite an eclectic life. Her recent most endeavor was to earn a master's degree in the Argentine tango from Buenos Aires University. Her 15 years of effort at a second career in dance is in keeping with her conviction that dancers are the athletes of God. She's also a world traveler. I'm pleased to welcome her to our studios in Prashanthi Nilayam. Sairam Ira, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have known of Bhagwan Baba since the year 1980. I understand your journey with Sai and to Sai includes charming epiphanies and miraculous life-saving occurrences that have transpired during your life. How did this awareness of Bhagwan Baba on earth happen in 1980?
Well, thank you for asking that question, because it is significant. My father was an IAS officer, an intellectual with a terrific library, but the one teacher he rejected was Satya Sai Baba, because he said that no spiritual person would... materialize watches and rings. And when somebody showed him something that Baba had materialized, he said to my mother, "Sheila, holy men are now materializing watches," and they had a good laugh. However, one day somebody left a picture of Baba, and he looked at it and started weeping. He was not a weeper. He was a thinker. And he said to my mother, "Sheila, put a frame around this picture. I don't know, I'm very moved." My mother looked at the picture, and her idea of a guru was her own guru, Chinmayanandji, tall, slim, with a very lordly carriage. And she saw this small, dark man with curly hair. She didn't like it. So she stuck it in a drawer. Well, 3 months later, my father had a heart attack. He was only 58. And he said to my mother, "Where is that picture I gave you?" Well, my mother hadn't framed it. She looked around, gave it to him. He placed it on his heart, crossed his arms over it, and died. This really shocked my mother. Her husband was an intellectual, a real thinker. He didn't talk about Ram. He didn't talk about Krishna. He didn't talk about his own guru. He asked for the picture of someone he scoffed at and whom he never saw. So she looked into it and started experiencing miracles. Now, I was in the U.S., and my situation was very difficult. And she'd send me vibhuti and pictures of Baba, and I would pitch them into the garbage because I felt that I had grown up with all this Upanishadic stuff and that none of it had worked in my failed marriage. And now more of it was coming. One day, it came at a time when I was in a difficult situation, and I put the vibhuti on my head unbelievingly and said, "Whoever you are, you kinky-haired guy, rent or sell my house." The next morning, there was a knock at the door very early. I believe it was 7 a.m. I opened the door, and there were two people standing there, one to rent and one to buy my house.
There you go. You should have also said, "Whoever you are, can I also win the lotto?"
I should have. Well, I was astonished, but I thought it a coincidence. And I said, "Oh, well, this is not enough to convince me of anybody's guruship." Well, I went to sleep, and early morning, Baba, for the first time, came in my dream with his hand raised. And I called my friend at 7 and I said, "You know the kinky head guy they call Baba? He came in my dream." And this man laughed and said, "You're going to hit the jackpot." Well, what happened is I was taking a course in diving, and I dove into a shallow part of the pool, and I hit my head. And the bottom of the pool, it opened up. When I came out, I must have looked like Kali. There was all blood. I had long hair then. It was flowing down my hair. I was taken to the doctor, and he kept saying that you should be paralyzed. Your neck should be broken. Anyway, he fixed it up, and he said I'd need plastic surgery and so forth. I had this huge bandage on my head. I had no pain. I didn't need an aspirin. And you'll find this difficult to believe, but after a day or two, I ran 10 miles. I was a runner at that time. And when they opened, removed the bandage, there was barely any scar. Well, the doctor said, you know, I do consider this a miracle. I met the same doctor some 30 years later. I'd forgotten him, but he hadn't forgotten me. He got hold of my hair, he pulled it back and said, well, let me see how that scar is now. Hmm. So that was my first experience.
So what did you understand of you will hit the jackpot?
Well, he laughed, my friend. He had heard of Baba, and he said that, you know, he gives people large amounts of money and gold rings and so forth. And he said, if he came in your dream, you'll probably hit the jackpot. But what I told him is I hit the bottom of the pool. And but Baba protected me.
And you came out unscathed compared to how grievous or serious the injury could have been.
I should have been paralyzed because when the head hits, it breaks the neck and then the person is paralyzed.
Well, you do describe him as an ironic humorist, so maybe he was just, you know, delivering some important news but sugarcoating it for you.
Well, let me tell you how he's an ironic humorist, a really funny one. I had taken leave and gone to Washington, D.C., and had very little money with me. Winter was approaching, and I didn't have a coat. And I'd stand in front of Baba's picture, and I'd say, Baba, give me a coat. And then it got colder and colder. It got to be late October, early November, and I said, Baba, do you want your devotee to be an icicle? Give me a coat. 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 And I said it 6 times. Well, I went to a grocery store, and a woman came up to me, and she said, do you want a coat? Well, I was astonished. And I said, why? She said, well, I was just looking at you. My neighbor just left, and he's left some coats with me, and they're exactly your size, and I'd love you to have them. So I walked with her, and she gave me 6 extremely stylish coats, and I brought them back, and I stood in front of Baba's picture, and I said, but Baba, why did you give me 6? And he said, give me a coat, give me a coat, give me a coat. Apparently, I said it 6 times, so he gave me 6 coats. So I called up all the Baba followers. I used to always tell them what I'd asked for, and they came, and they took, I gave 5 away, and I kept 1. So that is one of the sweetest miracles. So be careful what you ask.
Exactly. Be careful with that. Yes. And, you know, you also describe him as the power that has, who removes bad habits.
Oh, yeah. I want you to know that if you have a problem with cigarettes or alcohol, he can remove it in a snap. And I just want to tell you that I heard Hislop in New York talking about, you should get up in the morning and ask Baba to take your hand and let him lead you the entire day. And then when you do something, you tell him, Baba, I have to read or something and I'll be back with you. So I went to Washington, D.C., and I'm standing at the Smithsonian, the big lawn between the buildings. And I said, so Baba, you take my hand, and we're going to be together, and you've got to spend the day with me. And I took out a pack of chewing gum, and I said, have some chewing gum. Now, what was interesting about the chewing gum is that I had taken a crash course in Spanish in Ecuador, Cuenca, Ecuador. And I did 2 years' work in 10 weeks. It was nerve-wracking. And I got into the habit of eating chewing gum and chewing it to a certain rhythm that conjugated verbs such as hablo, hablas, habla, hablamos, hablan, and, you know, so forth. And I found that on my tests, I could only conjugate if I chewed this chewing gum. Otherwise, I couldn't conjugate. So I became a chewing gum addict. So I said to Baba, have some chewing gum. And he said, no.
And what do you mean when you say he said no?
Well,
no, did you hear a physical voice?
Yes, I hear. He said no. So I said, oh, Baba, come on. You know, we're in the U.S. and I'm not giving you pot. I'm not giving you cocaine. I'm not giving you alcohol. It's just chewing gum. Loosen up. And Baba said no. And then he said, Ira, choose between me and your chewing gum. And I said, well, Baba, this is really pretty grim. He said, choose. And I kind of thought, Baba, chewing gum. I took the chewing gum and I pitched it into the garbage. And I've never had chewing gum since. And I don't have the habit anymore.
Cravings? Withdrawal symptoms?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It was like over. Mm-hmm. Well, that entire day, he taught me many things about thoughtfulness and so forth. I was flying somewhere, and I got on the plane, and the stewardess gave me 2 blankets, 2 pillows, 2 something else. And I said, there's really no one here. And she said, really? She said, I just had that feeling that you would want 2. So, you can knock any bad habit if you give it to him.
And choose him over it.
Choose. Mm-hmm. This is a big word. Mm-hmm. Choose between me and your chewing gum.
Yes, you also describe Baba as a pragmatic philosopher and a moralist. Now, you're a professor of English and mythology. How do you mean that he's a pragmatic philosopher and a moralist?
Well, I used to ask him questions such as, Baba, what is Maya? You know, there are books and books on Maya, and I was a reader. What he would do is, he would come in my dream and actually give me a whole experience, not just talk about it. For example, when I said, what is Maya, I dreamt that somebody is chasing me, and I'm out of breath, and I'm running, and I'm running. And then suddenly I get the feeling in the dream, oh, this is only a dream. Oh, no, nothing is happening. Oh, thank God, I'm all right. Oh, it was just a dream. But then I get the feeling that thinking that I'm all right is another level of this dream, and I'm sinking lower and lower, and then he says, wake up! And I sat up. And what I was left with is that all of us are in a very deep sleep. And the sleep has 4 levels. And in order to wake up, you have to sink, as it were, to this last level, and then you wake up. So that was
so
one.
We have to hit the rock bottom?
Yes, yes, it's all levels of sleep. We are in a very deep sleep.
Although we are walking around with our eyes open.
Yes, it's sort of like a dream walk. We really don't see reality. So that was one. But another one was, why do you say that we shouldn't eat meat? Now, I wasn't eating meat. And this dream had such a profound effect on me that I couldn't look at meat after that. It was quite long that I go into a kitchen and somebody is cooking, and they're cooking a huge piece of meat, like a hunk of it, and it's shaped like a shoe. And I say, what are you cooking? And this person looks at me and says, it's your soul, or something like your soul. I said, my soul is a hunk of meat? What's happening here? And then Baba comes in the dream and he says, if in the day you eat, dead meat, and at night you eat live meat, and he was probably referring to relationships that people have, then you're all marbled flesh. Where is there place for me? There's no cavity for me. But all this was being cooked on a stove. So that was a one. And the third one...
Pretty gross sounding.
It is gross. But the third one, I said, Baba, I'm so tired of reading, and somebody says this and somebody says that. Give me one principle to live by. I only want one principle. And he came in my dream, and there were circles around him. And he said, love everybody like yourself, love everybody like yourself, love everybody like yourself. And his body kept receding, and those circles like an echo continued with love everybody like yourself. So that's the one principle to live by.
Have you been able to follow it?
Well, you know, it's really difficult to love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, it confuses them. It really does. But I do an exercise of putting all my enemies into like a circle and showering rose petals on them. But when I first started doing this, it was hard for me to open my hands to let the petals fall. But eventually I could, and that's about how far I've gone.
Mm-hmm. And how has that played out in relation to the people that you're trying to embrace now and love, with whom you've had a difficult past?
Well, what I've realized is that nothing really is permanent or static,
mm-hmm.
and that if a person has offended you, it doesn't mean that that person is actually cruel or will remain cruel. This person can change because the divine spark is in the person. And the only way the person is likely to change is if you don't retaliate. You see, there's hope for everybody. I mean, there's a book called From Sinners to Saints. You know, there were highwaymen who became saints. So I keep that in mind, that at this time, the person may have a smallness of character, but it's not permanent.
That's a very nice way to look at. Have you been able to forgive people who have caused you much grief in your life?
Well, what I do is I try to forgive myself for having hated them so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what right do I have to hate people?
Maybe you hated them at that point in time because they made you miserable, they caused you pain and anguish.
Yes. Well, what I think is that people who destroy our peace of mind are actually merely servers of your karma. They are instruments.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drama. It's a drama, and they've been used in order to serve you something that you need to experience. So we shouldn't see it personally.
Hey, it can't get more personal than this. If they are delivering your karma,
yes,
it is pretty personal. It's about your soul's journey.
Not quite, because think of a waiter who's serving you food.
Mm-hmm.
Did he cook it? It was cooked in the kitchen, right? All he does is give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, they're your benefactors, because in experiencing the negative that you have done, you're cleansed of it.
That's a very nice way to look at. Now, I have a sensitive question for you, Ira.
Yeah.
And this one is about how you have experienced Baba as a protector of women. And I'm hoping our listeners will also benefit from this experience. And I don't want to put you through too much pain in relating it, but to the extent that you can share.
You know, this is a very dramatic, I've had two dramatic experiences, and I have concluded that if you rely on Baba, you can never be assaulted. And after I tell you these experiences, you may be convinced. I was in Washington, D.C., and I had a dream in which a person with a brown skin like mine and curly hair has a pistol in his hand, and he's trying to assault me. And it was very frightening. But Babak appears in the dream and he says, "Say my name, say my name." And in my dream, I'm saying, "Satya Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba." But when I stop, he says, "Say my name, say my name." And I'm saying, "Satya Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba." And he did this 3 times as though he's giving me practice in saying his name. Well, I called my Baba friends and I called my daughter, and they were all very scared because they knew that my dreams come true. I always reported them. After about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, I had exactly the same dream, the same man, the same pistol, and I'm terrified in the dream. And Baba appears and he says, "Say my name, say my name," and I'm repeating his name. Well, after that, I decided that I lived in a rather dangerous part of town and that I should move from there. So I saw this ad in the newspaper that a man in Springfield, Virginia, which is very close to D.C., lived in an apartment, and he had a room and a bathroom which he was willing to rent. So I called him up and I said that if you wait about 2 hours, I'll be there. And he said, "If you tell me where you are, I'll pick you up." Well, this man came, and when I got into his deep red car, he said, "You look like a pretty Moroccan girl." Well, at the time I was in my 40s, but I looked young, and I didn't like the comment. It seemed like unprofessional, but I got into the car. And I'll try and make a very long story short. Finally, I got to his place, and we went up the stairs, and I heard a click, and I found that he had locked the door.
Behind you both.
Yes, behind us both. And then he bent down, and he took a pistol out from under the coffee table, and he, like a cowboy, he tossed it in the air. And then when I saw the pistol and I saw his face, the brown face, he was from Morocco, I remembered the dream. But before I could even think, he had, I don't know how, kind of catapulted me onto the couch. So I thought that, I looked at his eyes and they were like a pig's eyes, very intense. They really were like an animal's eyes. And I said to him, "I really don't care what you do. I want to pray for my children." And I sat up and he got hold of my shoulder and he pushed me down. And then I remembered what Baba had said. And I started saying Baba's name, Satya Sai Baba. I closed my eyes, Satya Sai Baba. When I opened my eyes, this man whose eyes had been like an animal's looked as though they'd seen something awesome. Really awesome. And he was shaking, and I jumped up and I stood up, and his eyes were like wide open, and he said, "Who are you? Who are you? Why is there light coming from your head? Who are you?" And then he bent down and he touched my feet, but I really think that he kissed my feet because I saw him go even lower. And then he stood up and he said, "But I didn't do anything." And then he moved out of the way, opened the door like a gentleman, and I started running down, and he's running behind me saying, "But I didn't do anything, but I didn't do anything." And Baba has told us to love our enemies. So I was saying, "No, you're a very good man. You're a very good man." And I kept running. So this was one of my experiences where he protected me. The second experience is really, really odd. I had been in Spain where I met a Britisher, and he let me know that he was a Baba follower. So we spent the day together talking about Baba, and it was all very pleasant. I came back to the U.S., and for almost a year we exchanged postcards, and they were mostly about how terrible Spain was and the problems in the U.S. and about Baba. And then he said, "Well, why don't you come here and spend some time in Spain?" So I said, "Well, you'll have to find me a room." And then I got this postcard that I found you a room, and it's not very expensive, and I'll be at the airport to see you. So I bought a ticket, and I was at the airport, and I sat at the airport almost, I was there 2 hours ahead of time, and I missed the plane. And the woman said to me, she said, we announced your name 10 times. Where were you? I said, but I was sitting here. She said, well, maybe you can get on the plane here and there. I ran around. I couldn't get on the plane. So I started complaining to Baba. I said, Baba, I'm going to see a Baba follower. Why did you do this to me? Well, I went back. I was in Washington when this happened. I went back to Maryland. And then later on, a month later, I get a letter from this British Baba follower. And he says, Ira, have you ever figured out why you missed that flight? I'll tell you why you missed that flight. I was infatuated with you, but I didn't want to tell you because I could tell that you were of a different persuasion. So I found you a room, and I had arranged it in such a way that there was no way for you to get away, and Baba protected you. Now, this man was a Baba follower himself, but Baba said, don't believe everybody who says I'm a Baba follower. He told me this himself. So what Baba did is he made me deaf. I never got on the flight. This is my second one. I can tell you more. He's always protected me. I'm now convinced that I cannot be assaulted.
And women around the world, I think, just chanting his name just empowers you.
You know, absolutely. The name means my divine mother and father.
And this divine mother and father is very potent.
Once you say that, the connection is made.
Immediately.
And he's there.
Now, Baba is also, has he ever given you any financial advice other than your safety?
Oh, he has made me a rich woman.
Oh, good on you.
I just, you know, when I think, I remember somebody telling me, you know, I don't have enough money and so forth. And I looked at her. I said, just ask Baba. You just have to ask him. Well, this is a very interesting story. There was a terrible, terrible storm in Western Maryland. The storm was so severe that when I looked out of the window, I couldn't see anything because of the heavy snow that was falling. Well, they announced that the university was closed and the restaurants were closed and this happened and that happened. So I stood in front of Baba's picture and I said, Baba, this is a good day for us to be together because I don't have to teach. The university is closed. So you take my hand and we can spend the day together. And Baba said, go to the bank. I got a shock and I said, no, Baba, have you seen the weather outside? I mean, I look like a snowman when I get to the bank. And I said, the bank is probably closed. And he said, well, who's running your life today? Are you running it or am I running it? And I said, you are. He said, go to the bank. So I remember I got all my gloves and my caps and my fur coat and this and that. And I trudged to the bank. It was open. And I go in and everybody bursts laughing, partly because of the way I looked and partly because they know me and they said, oh, Ira, you must really have worked to have come in this weather. Well, I had no work and I felt like a fool. And I said, oh, Baba, please don't make a fool of me. So I said, well, I've come to find out what my savings are. And this made them laugh hilariously because I could have called them. So just then, Mr. Klinker, who was an administrator, said, Ira, is that you? I said, yes. He said, come here, come here. There's nobody here and we can work something out. What is the interest that you're paying? And I said something. He said, no, no, that's not your interest. You're paying 7%. Now sit down. I can get that down to 4%. And there's no one here and nobody's going to come, so let's do that. So he did it and he said, well, you've now saved $55,000. Weren't you here a month back for land? You wanted some land on some mountain and we couldn't give it to you because you didn't have the money. I said, yes. Well, you have the money now. So I got the land. They gave me money for the land and they did this. So I go back and I stand in front of Baba's picture and I said, oh, Baba, thank you so much. And he said, we are not done yet. So, So I said, he said, take out your credit cards. So I took out my credit cards, and there was, I'm not very careful about how much interest and this and that, but he made me switch things around. And I was so exhausted. I said, Baba, I'll just take over my life from now. And I need to rest. But he did that, and I was a professor, and to get a National Endowment of the Humanities grant, if you get one in your entire career, it's an honor. If you get two, they think you're a genius. Well, guess how many I got? 12. I got 12.
Wow.
The dean was so amazed that he called me to his office and he said, people labor a lifetime to get one. How do you get these? We are thinking of switching you to grants writing for other professors so that they can get some. How do you get this? And I thought to myself, should I tell this man? It's Baba. And they say, well, here's another superstitious Indian. So I gave another reason. But I want you to know that the first one got me $38,000. And I just kept getting them. They just kept rolling. It's very easy to make money with Baba. Very, very easy.
Interesting, to say the least. Wow. And I just want to hear from you a little bit about your work, your profession. You teach English and you also specialize in mythology. And the Indian culture has some rich history of mythology of its own. How do you bring that into your workplace in America?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a professor of English, but when I joined the college, they needed somebody to prepare students in literature for classical allusions. And so I started teaching mythology. I had a minor in mythology. And then gradually, to Greek mythology, I added American Indian mythology, which is fascinating. And then I added some Egyptian. And then finally, in the last 5 years, I added the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. And it was fascinating that all my A students, there weren't that many, thought that the Ramayana and the Mahabharata were the greatest epics in world literature. They said that I taught the Iliad, I taught the Odyssey, I taught all kinds of Middle Eastern epics. They said none of them could touch these two epics. And they got very, very deeply into it. But my C students just found it very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like the finest students had the sensitivity to see. Well, we used to make a contrast between the two epics. Odysseus as a hero and Ram as a hero. And we found that they almost contradicted each other.
In what sense?
Well, Odysseus is totally pragmatic, is totally into solving problems as they occur in this world. And Ram is an exemplar of the perfect man. But here's the interesting thing. I also taught the Aeneas, which is the Roman epic. And Aeneas is very much like Ram because the Emperor Augustus wanted a model for the Romans to follow.
He's like an exemplar of virtue.
Yes. And he's very, very, very close to Ram. But there's just much more. It's all behind me now.
Mm-hmm. Now, between Roman and Greek and Egyptian and Native Indian and Indian mythology, what is it that is common?
What is common is that I think all mythologies are symbols. They are symbolic of forces, you know, like fire, water, air. And what you'll find is that each of these entities is like a paradox. Like fire can burn, but fire is warmth. or take love, Aphrodite. Love attracts, but love can destroy. Or take water. Water can flood, but we can't live without it. And so that's one. The second is that all mythologies use sacrifice, a kind of tapas, what we call tapas, penance, that without sacrifice, nothing can be effected. Creation itself is an act of sacrifice. But in modern thinking, sacrifice is a bad word. You see, it's like considered medieval. But each of these mythologies has suffering gods.
And is it relevant to our times and lives?
You know, I think one reason that I live in the U.S., that education is declining, values are declining, is that nobody is willing to do any kind of tapas. Mothers don't want to do tapas for their children. Fathers don't want to do any tapas for the wife. Nobody is willing to suffer the pain of responsibility, you know, or of work. Everybody, they just want to enjoy themselves because penance, you know, is a bad word. So there's no tapas.
How is it to...
Why were my students so poor? Because they weren't willing to put in the effort. Things should come easily.
Mm-hmm. Hard work is not cool.
No.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ira Patnaik, what was the experience like to be a woman of color from India teaching English to Americans?
Some students would write on my evaluations that they felt that they were being taught English by a British woman, which was very sweet. But I remember one interesting comment. One girl wrote that when I found that the teacher was going to be from India, I wanted to avoid the class. But I took the class because I needed it. But it turned out to be my absolute best class. And I'm so glad I took it. And I realized the depth of my prejudice. And so what I feel Indians have to do is, people do have a stereotype, but we can change it.
And where did you acquire that accent? You sound so British.
I don't know. I think it's heavily polluted. I went to a German convent.
In Allahabad?
In Nainital.
Nainital. Oh, that explains. Yes. Like a boarding school?
It was a boarding school, but I should have a German accent. There's just one very beautiful, almost lyrical experience I want to describe, because I think Baba is prompting me to...
Please do.
When I was in Washington, I lived in a little room, and there were roses all around, and I asked my landlady, why aren't there any roses here in our bushes? And she says, I don't know, Ira. We've never had roses. They've just never bloomed. So I told Baba, I said, Baba, if you're an avatar, I want a yellow rose on this bush. I called all my Baba followers and I said, I've asked for a yellow rose on the bush where there have been no roses. Well, it was about September when I said it, and then it was October, no rose. And then it was October, November, and there was no rose. And I told Baba, I said, you know, Baba, your reputation is at stake. I've told everybody. Well, about 4 days before his birthday, there was a yellow bud. And on his birthday, there's a beautiful yellow rose.
Wow.
Well, I was so excited. I called all my Baba followers. They all came with cameras and so forth. And we ate and this and that and oh, so exciting. And then they left. And then I sat down and I said, maybe it was a coincidence. You know, the ability to doubt is kind of unfathomable. It just goes on. And so I cut the rose and I put it near Baba's picture. And I said, Baba, if you made this rose bloom for me, come in my dream. I was always asking him to come in my dream. So Baba came in my dream. And he opened his heart, and his hands were like this. And where his heart was my yellow rose. And I remember the last thing I said was, how soft, and then I fainted. And then when I woke up, I was looking at Baba's picture in the yellow rose.
Pretty dramatic, to say the least.
Yeah, and you know my rainbow story that I love. I told Baba, I said, Baba, if you can show so-and-so a rainbow, you can show me a rainbow. Show me a rainbow, otherwise I won't believe you're an avatar. Well, that night...
You're always threatening.
I know I am. I should be much more... But he threatens me too.
So that's how you both relate.
Yes, he's my buddy. I'm not able to relate like people relate in adoration. He's my buddy.
Sakyam, friendship.
He's my buddy. Like, I'll tell him, I said, Baba, did you hear what they said about India? They insulted India. So I'd roll up my sleeves and say, let's punch them. And he'd say, speak for yourself. I'm universal. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of conversations like this. But this rainbow one, that night, my daughter was sleeping and there was a rainbow over her head from the light. And I said to Baba, if you think you've convinced me of a rainbow, that's not a rainbow for me. So the next day, I go to have breakfast somewhere and I look out the window and there's a huge cement rainbow over a grocery store. So I wondered why I'd never seen it. And I was staring and somebody came, a man, he put his head next to mine. He said, what are you looking at so intently? I said, is that a rainbow? He said, sure, it's always been there. Why? He said, you want to see a rainbow? And he takes out a paper from his pocket and it says, join the Rainbow Club of America. And there's a rainbow. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, you want to come? It's a rainbow. So I went out and the light was falling through prisms that women were selling. And there were rainbows on the floor on the road. So I'm walking over these rainbows and there were other people going up to the mountain to the Rainbow Club. They were in front of me and behind me. So I looked up and I said, Baba, this is overkill. But why isn't there a rainbow in the sky? And he said, you didn't ask me for a rainbow in the sky. You said, show me a rainbow.
So all this sort of conversation that you have with Baba, yeah. Directly with him, did it continue after Mahasamadhi? Does it continue till date?
You know, it does. It does. But I've recognized something that when Baba first made his contact with me, he was like the hound of heaven trying to catch me. I was spiritually immature. And just like a baby, it cries and you give it a lollipop and it cries, you give it another lollipop. He would keep hitting me with miracles, one after another, after another. If I said, Baba, you haven't come in my dream for 6 weeks, he'd come and say, hi, and leave. And it was sort of like a very young person who has to be given faith by being hit with miracle after miracle after miracle. Mm-hmm. And he did this for 20 years. But after that, it's like he wanted me to grow up. And I actually had to do the work now. And doing the work, he only comes in a crisis. Mm-hmm. He helps me in a crisis. But once I felt that I wasn't making any progress and I was just a lost case and I went to sleep in a fetal position and he came in my dream and he said, but there's one thing good about you, Ira. So in my dream, I said, what? You know, I was so desperate. And he said, when you can do something for someone, you do it, which is true. You know, I did do that. And I said, but what's wrong with me? He said, you're not resolute. You see, I used to think that if I gave my word to you and I keep it, that's good enough. But I didn't know I had to keep my word to myself. For example, I'd stay at night. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and clean out my garage. Well, I'd get up in the morning and I'd watch YouTube and talk to my friends. I don't have to clean the garage. But he said, once you give your word, even to yourself, you've got to do it. That's how you learn resolve. You know, so if you say...
Self-discipline.
Yes, if you have to get up at 6 o'clock and say the Gayatri Mantra and do my meditation... He said, do it. You have to do what you say. And he said, that was my weakness. So now he gives me a very mature kind of advice.
Now, since you live your life with this deep connection with Baba, how do your peers and your family members, such as your grown-up children, view that?
Well, my mother was, you know, we don't have the time. Otherwise, I tell you amazing stories. My mother never asked Baba for anything because she says you shouldn't ask God for anything. I'm just the opposite. She lost her keys and she couldn't find them for 2 days. And then I heard her telling, you know, the peon, go and get someone and all the locks have to be broken. And I said, Mommy, what are you asking about the locks to be broken? She was in her 90s. And she said, what to do? I've lost my keys. I said, just wait. I went to Baba's. She had a puja room. After Papa's death, you know, she had put Baba's picture, and I stood there. I said, Baba, I just can't take this anymore. I do all the work here, and now there's going to be the banging and the breaking of 100 locks. I said, just tell me where the key is. And he turned me around, and he gave me a push, and he turned me like this, and he put my hand in, and I got the keys, and I took them to her, and she said, Kasai, where did you get this? And I said, they were over there. How did you know? I said, Baba took me there. You've turned him into a chaprasi or something? So I said, well, let's throw the keys away and you get all the locks broken. But she never asked him for anything. But if I asked Baba for anything for her, she would get it. And my brother follows Ramakrishna, but he loves hearing my Baba stories and enjoys them. And I have three cousin sisters who were raised with me, two cousin sisters and a beau and a son. And they're not at all religious. And they just look at me perplexed because they have no such experiences.
What about your children?
You know, it's very interesting with my children. My children noticed that there was something magical about my life. So if I ever complain, my daughter would say, and she was about 10 years old, what are you complaining about? You just say, Baba, Baba, and everything drops in your lap. We have to work for a living. So one day she called and she said, well, why doesn't he come in my dream? So I said, Gayatri, for 6 months, help everybody that you can, and he will come in your dream. So she started doing that and she called me. I said, well, it's only 4 months. She says, Mom, I've helped people who don't even want to be helped. I said, 6 months. And he came in a dream. And she said, my mother loves you very much. And he said, I know. And he said, put my picture behind your... So she still doesn't follow him, but she knows that my experiences are true. My son, it's amazing. He had to get a job and this and that and wasn't getting a job. It was going to be his first job. So I told Baba, I said, Baba, please, I've raised him and you know how hardworking he is and he's got to get a job. And Baba told me his interview will be on and he gave me a date. So I called Uday up and I said, you're going to have an interview on such a date. He said, no, Mom, the interview is already fixed. I said, I don't know. I'm telling you what Baba said. He called me the next day and he said, you know, you're right. They've changed the date of the interview. So he goes and he gets this job. I mean, it was a terrific job. And he calls me. He says, you know, they treated me as though I was some kind of pearl of great price. And so when I pray for them, things happen, but they don't.
Well, they're lucky to have you for a mom, to say the least. Dr. Ira Patnaik, it's been wonderful listening to your experiences and your perspectives.
Thank you. I tried to create like a bouquet and that each experience was like a flower, but I want to tell you, I've had such a profusion of experiences that I kept changing the flowers and says, oh, they like this better, oh, they like this better. And I felt such gratitude to Baba that he'd given me so many,
right.
So many that I could pick and drop.
And you live such a full life.
Oh, yes. He showed me some fascinating things about the future, too. Wonderful things. It's getting better all the time. And he's made me a rich woman.
And that is also very important, to have financial independence, especially if you're by yourself.
You can do charity.
Exactly, and divert it to good causes.
Yes.
Very nice to hear that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
Everybody. रे ओ बोलिए कौन सी जाती है वो मानवता की जाति हमारी समता समग्रता समैक्यता सौभ्रातृत्व पात का जी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का जी भेद ना जात पात का जी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का जी तेरे दर पे आए वो सभी एक हो जाए
वो सभी एक हो जाए वो सभी एक हो जाए
न जात पात का भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का धर्म यहाँ न जात पात का भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का धर्म यहाँ आशा हमारी एक हृदय की
मनोयान मनवा कर देखो जन मनोयान मनवा कर देखो जन
मनोयान मनवा कर देखो जन मनोयान मनवा कर देखो जन
साई के दरबारी में
हाँ जी हाँ जी
साई के दरबारी में गरी निर निर मद भग भग निर गरी मबदनी मबदनी मबदनी
साई के
परंपरा पुरानी बदल गई है आज
काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की आज
काली घटा छाई है
कलयुग की आज
काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की आज काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की
आज मकर इस घन घोर अंधेरे में ये किधर से उठी है
मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो
मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो साई के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो साई के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो साई के दरबार में सुन लो साई के दरबार में
आओ जी आओ सुन लो
समस्त
thank you. ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా, ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా, నేను ఎప్పుడు మీ వెంటనే జంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటుంటాను. కనుక మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పనిచేయండి.
వర్క్ విత్ ద ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ యూనిటీ.
నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు.
భగవాన్ సీట్ ఇస్ నాట్ హియర్.
నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే.
భగవాన్ చైర్ ఇస్ యువర్ హార్ట్.
కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వేరెవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతను మీకు జరగవు.
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు.
యు విల్ నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనిలో ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ మే డూ గుడ్ వర్క్ టేక్ ఇట్ ఎస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.
The incessant flow of worship to Krishna was Radha's very life. In thoughts of Krishna, she was forever lost. His form danced before her eyes every moment, wakeful and dream. The blue hues of the gurgling Yamuna reminded her of Krishna's charming complexion. The merry chirping of birds stirred in her memories of Krishna's mischievous chuckles. In Vrindavan, when Krishna would play upon his flute, her days passed like moments, filling every moment with that memory she spent her days. All that stood between Krishna and Radha's union was her mortal frame. The day finally came when even that would seamlessly slip away.
Okka korika korindi paapam Radha.
Radha had one desire.
నాకింకేమి వద్దు స్వామి.
ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్ మోర్ స్వామి.
మీ మురళిని ఒక్కతూరి వాయించండి, నేను వింటాను చాలని.
ఐ వాంట్ టు లిసన్ టు యువర్ ఫ్లూట్.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పరుకుతే నెలకొనంట.
యు సింగ్ ద గ్లోరీ అండ్ ద మెలడీ సో దట్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ ఫుల్.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పలుకుతే
పాట పాడేటప్పటికి వినింది.
షీ హర్డ్
ప్రాణమిచ్చింది.
షీ బ్రీద్ హర్ లాస్ట్.
ప్రాణం విడిచడమే కాకుండా ఆనాటి నుంచి కూడా మురళిని పట్టడం కూడా మానివేశారు.
సిన్స్ దెన్ కృష్ణ డిడ్ నాట్ పిక్ అప్ ద ఫ్లూట్ అగైన్.
రాధాకు ఈ యొక్క మురళిని త్యాగం చేశాడు.
హీ సాక్రిఫైస్డ్ హిస్ ఫ్లూట్ ఫర్ హర్.
ఆ గానమును త్యాగం చేశాడు.
అండ్ దెన్ ద మెలడీ టు
కట్ట కడపటి పాట కృష్ణుడు ఇది ఒక్కటే చెప్పింది.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దిస్ వాజ్ ద లాస్ట్ సాంగ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ.
రాధ చాలా గొప్ప భక్తురాలు.
రాధ ఇస్ అన్ ఆర్డెంట్ డివోటీ.
కనుకనే భక్తికి అంత గొప్ప విలువనిచ్చారు.
డివోషన్ ఇస్ హైలీ వాల్యుబుల్.
ఇట్టి భక్తిని ఆనాటి నుంచి గోపికలు జగత్తును వ్యాప్తి గావించేటట్టుగా అనేక ప్రచార ప్రపంచములు చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ డివోషన్ హాస్ బీన్ టాట్ అండ్ షేర్డ్ అండ్ ప్రొపగేటెడ్ బై దిస్ గోపికాస్.
సగరి నిరి సగని సగా మదవరే సగరి నిరి సగని సగా మదవరే సగరి నిరి సగని సగ మదవరే గమ పదవాదమ భగమ సగప గమని గని సగని పర గమని గమదని దని సల కుక్క కుల్కి పల్కే గాని నీటు మాటల కోటి నేరడితడు మనసిచ్చితనో ప్రేమ మాటలాడుని కాని పూర్తి మాటలు పలుకడెప్పుడు పూర్తి మాటలు పలుకడెప్పుడు ఆపస్తంభ సూత్రము భారద్వాజ సగోత్రము సాగరీగ సామ గామ సామ మామ గమని సాగరీగ సామ గామ సామ మామ తాను తప్పగ చనుగారి ఎదుటి తప్పుల